Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God.
Last time on Life Talk, we explored the amazing Star of Bethlehem that led a handful of Persian astronomers to the very house where Jesus was living. This time, we're going to look at the angels that pronounced his birth. We're going to read about how a group of simple shepherds had their typical night of watching over their flocks, gloriously interrupted by a chorus of angels announcing to them the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, The Angels of Christmas.
Here's the story. It says, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord, singular, not plural, but there's just one so far. An angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now read verse 11 with me. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. No better news than that? No better headline than that? That's the best news the planet Earth has ever received. God so loved the world. Now, I like to always say when you read a story like this, because there's so many skeptical people, they say, well, that's just a fairy tale. You know, come on. An angel appearing to a group of shepherds, it sounds like something somebody wrote, and it didn't really happen. But no, here's the deal. The Bible gives to us as a genuine, true historical account. This genuinely happened. And the Bible tells us that it all began with a group of shepherds who received a heavenly visitation. Behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. There was a suddenness to this. They were just doing their everyday thing. And suddenly, God invaded their space. God moved into their orbit. God revealed himself to them. And it's very powerful. An angel of the Lord, a real one, stood before them. He didn't have wings. He wasn't playing a harp. He didn't look like a Cupid. This was when we see angels in the Bible, they are mighty. They are tall. They are intimidating. They are overwhelming. They are powerful. And they always bring light. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid, and so would you have been, and so would I. Now, I want you to notice how it describes the appearance of the angel as being surrounded by light. The glory of the Lord shone. God's glory is light. And the word shone means to illuminate all around, to permeate with light, like a halo. Now, we all know what a halo looks like. We picture, you know, halo over somebody's head. But this was a giant halo effect. This angel appeared and shone, illuminated all around them, permeated their space with light like a giant halo. They were surrounded by heavenly light. Suddenly, here is this being. And the being came with light. And it's like a spotlight has shined on them suddenly. Now, you think about this and you go, I don't fully understand it because there's several different kinds of light. Candlelight, electric light, phosphorescent light, light of stars, light of the moon, ultraviolet light, infrared light. There's all kinds of light. But see, there's only one kind of light that you and I can see, and that is what is visible to the naked eye. That's the only kind of light we can see. Every kind of light that I just described, we can see it if it comes our way. But this light that accompanied this angel did not fit into any of these categories. It was not a physical light. It was a spiritual light. It was light from another world. Light from a world that we can't normally see, but it is there. If we could have God's eyes right now and we could see with God's vision, we would see another world that we never, ever otherwise see. It is the fourth dimension. It is where God lives. Jesus lives. It is where the angels and the demons constantly clash and battle. It is a spiritual world, a very real world. It's the fourth dimension. It's another world. And unless God opens our eyes to see it, we will never see it. But God allowed these shepherds to see it. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And they saw this light. It's the light that'll be in heaven. It's the light of God. God is light. And God is love. And whoever walks with God will walk in the light. Paul the Apostle saw this light when Jesus Christ confronted him on the road to Damascus. Luke describes it this way, Acts 9, verse 3, as he journeyed, that is Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, there's that suddenly again, a light shone around him from heaven. Suddenly, he was illuminated all around like a giant halo. Suddenly, Paul was confronted with a light. It was not the sun. It was not a flashlight. It was not, because they didn't exist. It was not a candlelight. It was not a normal light. It was spiritual light. And we know that it was spiritual because the Bible says the men with him could not see it. But only Paul saw it because God opened his eyes. And Jesus spoke through that light. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks of your conscience. Paul would later mention this light to Timothy. Speaking of Jesus, here's what he said, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. Where is Jesus? Jesus right now is in heaven at the right-hand side of God. And what is it like there? Well, we know one of the things that characterize heaven is a light that you cannot approach, a light that is so bright, so brilliant, so overwhelming that unless you're in heaven, you can't approach it. Unapproachable light. It's the very same light that will take the place of our sun in heaven. The Bible says when the New Jerusalem is finally lowered down and our heavenly city has been given to the saints of God, those who have come to Christ, it tells us about that city. It says the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. Can I read that again? The glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The light that exudes and permeates and effervesces off of the face of Jesus will be the light of heaven. We'll no longer need the sun, no longer need the moon to walk around, because the light of the glory of God, the light the angel saw, the light that Saul saw, that light will be the light of heaven, and it'll be lit by the glory of God. Amen. Go ahead and praise him. That's good. Powerful. So the introduction of Jesus Christ into the world began with a visitation from heaven. A brilliant, shining angel exuding God's glory. Secondly, the visitation was followed by a supernatural revelation. Pay attention to this, because anytime God visits, there is always a revelation to follow. Because when he visits, he comes with a purpose in mind to reveal something. And they receive a supernatural revelation. Now for me, the beauty of this whole story is how just ordinary people have an encounter with an extraordinary God. To me, that's what Christmas is all about. Ordinary people, just normal people like you and me, haven't experienced these shepherds with an extraordinary God. God decides to step into their life like he wants to step into yours. Some of you today, you need God bad. And let me tell you something, he's ready to step into your life. He's ready to come into your life. Here's just ordinary people that have an encounter with an extraordinary God, and they're given a revelation. First, they had a visitation, this angel and this light, but now they've got a revelation because the angel begins to talk to them, and a revelation means something is being revealed you would never have known had God not revealed it to you. A visitation brought a revelation. Now, when we think of these shepherds, we have a sort of a Hallmark card picture in our mind. A kind group of religious kind of gentlemen sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya. And when the angel appears, they say, oh, glory to God, it's an angel, hallelujah. But that's not at all what happened. And nor was that the kind of men they were. Let me tell you the truth. In Jesus' day, shepherding was a despised occupation. Shepherds were generally scorned, and they often were viewed as lazy and dishonest people who often took their sheep and let them graze on other people's land. That's the way they were viewed. They were the lower rung. They were the lower rung of society. So I want you to notice when the angel appeared, who he first appeared to. Take note of that, because that's what Christmas is all about. Who the angel first appeared to. The angel was sent by God. The angel was doing exactly what God told the angel to do. So God said, I want you to go to the shepherds. They didn't appear to King Herod. Now, if I'm going to go and I'm going to announce the arrival of Messiah King, the Messiah of the world, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the long-awaited Redeemer, the long-awaited Savior, I'm sending him to King Herod. But he didn't. And he wasn't sent to Roman nobility either. And he wasn't sent to Roman society's who's who's. That's not where the angel was sent. The angel appeared to lowly, imperfect, flawed men, the lower class, the marginalized of society, the lower rung. At best, they were just average, everyday people going through the motions of just another day in their ordinary, routine, predictable life. And all of a sudden, God stepped in. That's what the birth of Jesus is all about, folks. God so loved the world, he gave. He deposited his son onto planet Earth. He came into our world. He came into our anger, our frustration, our pain, our hurt. He came into our lives. He came into our letdowns. He came into our skepticism. He came into our disillusionment. He came into our hopelessness. He stepped into the pain of the human race. Christmas is about God coming alongside us, walking with us, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and on Wednesday and on Friday. I'm so glad when I wake up on Monday that he's there. I'm glad that he's there on Wednesday. I'm glad that he's there on TGIF. I'm glad he's there when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't sleep. And there's the Holy Spirit saying to me, well, if you can't sleep, let's talk. I'm glad that he's there. I'm glad that he's present. I'm glad that he's with me. God with us is what Emmanuel means. God with us. That's what the birth of Jesus is all about. He wants to be a part of our everyday lives, every day of our lives. Now, these shepherds, and I understand it, they were scared to death. The Bible says they were greatly afraid. The Greek word there for afraid is phobos. We get phobia from it. That means they almost had a panic attack when this angel appeared. And I think it's probably because they wondered if God was there to visit them about something they'd done. That's why a lot of people won't come to church. Or they go to churches where there's no hope of hearing the word of God and they feel safe. But there's people that won't go to a church that preaches the word of God because they're so afraid that God's going to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, let's talk about that sin in your life. But they don't understand that he loves you so much. That's why he wants to talk about the sin in your life, because the sin in your life and in my life is what keeps me and keeps us from him. And he wants to remove it. Thank God he so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes on him will have their sins washed away. Have their sins washed away. So I think that first they were afraid. Uh-oh, he's come for us to give an account of what we've done. But immediately the angel, and the angels always have to say this when they appear to people in the Bible. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Today, a Savior is born. I'm bringing you the best news you could ever hear. I'm giving you the greatest headline ever given to the human race, that today, a Savior is born. Amen. Now, as if that weren't enough, it says that at that very moment, think of this, the heavens opened up, and the shepherds heard glorious heavenly, angelic worship and praise. Now, we just worship God here. We just praise him. And I told you that God inhabits the praise of his people. But let me tell you something. If you don't like praise and worship, you better learn to like it, because that's all you're going to be doing in heaven. You're going to be worshiping God, praising God, because I want you to look. When heaven opened up, it says suddenly. There's that word again. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. So now singular angel has become plural, where there's an innumerable number of angels. The armies of heaven praising God. And here's what they were singing. Glory to God. In the highest heaven, they sang. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine what that choir sounded like? That choir put to shame any choir that has ever sung on earth. They were listening to an innumerable multitude of angels singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And these shepherds were overwhelmed. They were blown away. Not only did they see an angel, but now heaven has opened. God has pulled back the curtains, and now they're seeing what a real worship session really looks like. In the midst of an ordinary night, ordinary shepherds encounter an extraordinary God. And you know, the Lord loves stepping into our everyday, our ordinary days, and speaking to us. And sometimes we don't even recognize him. But he's all the time stepping in. One time, many years ago, when I graduated college, I just knew as soon as I graduated college, because I was called to preach, and I felt that I was doing what God had told me to do before he released me to go preach full time. And so I graduated college, and I just knew that the doors were going to begin to fly open. I knew that I was Billy Graham Part 2. Forgive me, but that was my dream. Here I come, world, Billy Graham Part 2. I sent out my letters of recommendation with a bunch of well-known preachers signing it. You know, Jeff will bless you. Jeff has this gift, so on and so forth. I sent them out everywhere. And you know what happened? Not one door opened. I didn't hear one angel singing. I got no, nothing happened. And I began to think, well, what is wrong here? And I had talks with God. I said, Lord, the world you love is going to hell in a handcart, and I'm ready to preach and open the door. Just give me one door, and I will peel the paint off the wall. Just let me go. But there was nothing, not anything. And I ended up painting office complexes at night. Nothing wrong with painting office complexes. Let me tell you something. Any work you do to put food on the table, as long as it's legal, is noble. All work is noble. All work has a nobility attached to it. So not that there was anything wrong with painting. It's just not what I felt that God had called me to do. And I didn't understand. And months were stretching by. And I didn't understand it. And I was just trying to put bread on the table and take care of my family. And I began to get very, very discouraged. And one day I was at a real low point. So low that I didn't even want to go out. So I sat in a rocking chair in the middle of our little tiny apartment living room. At that time, we were taking care of a little girl with Down syndrome. Kathy took care of her a few times a week, and she was a little sweetheart. And she was about 8, 9 years old, and she's sitting there, and I'm not aware, but she's looking at me, and I'm oblivious to the world. I'm having a pity party. If you notice when you have a pity party, Holy Ghost doesn't show up. You can invite him, but he doesn't come very often. You can send out an invitation. Devils are glad to come, but the Lord doesn't show up at many pity parties, and I'm having a pity party. And I'm just rocking in this rocking chair, and I'm playing my violin, and I'm thinking, woe is me, where is God? I thought I was called. And this little 8 to 9 year old girl with Down syndrome, her name was Beverly, all of a sudden she gets up, and she walks over to me, and she plops herself down in my lap, and she grabbed my face and turned my face and made me look her in the eye. And she said, it's all right, Jeffrey. Jesus is going to help you. Man. And you know how you have those moments when you know there's more to the moment than just a natural, normal moment? You know that God has stepped in. And I was so aware that God grabbed hold of the unlikely to come over and make me look her in the eye and make me listen to what she had to say. And she spoke, God spoke right through this girl to me. He stepped right into my ordinary, down, discouraged day and brought me a word from, it's all right, Jeffrey. Jesus is going to help you. And I knew it was him. I knew it was him. And do you know that within a few months, the door opened for Kathy and I to start our first church, and we became senior pastors for the first time. But Let me tell you, she had a word from God. God stepped into my everyday and spoke to me, and he loves to do that. Jesus does that. With some of you, he's doing that to you right now. He's stepping into your everyday. You didn't even want to come to church today, some of you. But let me tell you, he's speaking to you right now. He's got a word for you right now. He doesn't want you depressed. He doesn't want you down. He doesn't want you hopeless. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And when he gave his son, he gave hope. And when he gave hope, he gave faith. And when he gave faith, he gave purpose and vision and destiny. He picked us up and pulled us out of the horrible pit of sin and out of the miry clay of bondage and set us on the rock, and his name is Jesus. And he put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. And so God invaded my space that day. A divine visitation with these shepherds led to a supernatural revelation. And supernatural revelation produced excited proclamation. Look at what happened. The Bible says that after this incredible vision of heavenly praise, the shepherds said, we got to go see if this is true. We've seen an angel, and we've heard a choir in heaven. We got to go see if what this angel told us is true. And they made a beeline for Bethlehem. And it says when they got to Bethlehem, the Bible says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. There he was. The baby Jesus, wrapped in narrow strips of cloth that we call swaddling cloths. And they realized something that I want us to realize today. They knew the message of Christmas was more than just a baby in a manger. We see nativity scenes everywhere. They're everywhere. I've got three of them in my house right now. Nativity scenes. And it shows the shepherds, and it shows Mary and the little cradle and Jesus in it, and it shows Joseph standing off, and it's the manger scene. But Christmas is more than that. You see, what these shepherds realize is what we need to realize today. They realized they were actually looking in the eye of God wrapped in skin, of God becoming one of us. They knew that this was not a normal baby born in a normal way. They knew that there was more to it. They had a revelation, first a visitation, then a revelation. The revelation was, this is not a normal child. I have sent this child through an immaculate conception, and now there's been a miraculous birth. This child will die for the sins of mankind. You're looking at God's Lamb, at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why they had no problem worshiping a two-year-old baby boy, because they knew this was Messiah. This was God become flesh. This was God coming down from heaven to earth to carry us from earth to heaven. They knew this. So when the angel's announcement was proven true, they could not keep it to themselves. You know what I like to say? I like to say they got a bad case of the gotta tells. Let me tell you what you need to really catch. I hope you catch it today. I want you to catch it. I hope I'm contagious enough that you catch it. I want you to get a bad case of the gotta tells. They said, we have found the Messiah. We have found that God has sent the Savior into the world to die for our sins. We've got the best news in all the world, and we have become infected with a bad case of the gotta tells. Or another way to put it is a case of the can't help it. I'm going to have to go tell somebody about Jesus. Folks, listen, there's two kinds of churches. Churches that are God's frozen chosen. It is so dead in there, you can ice skate to your seat. There's no God, no Jesus, no life, no hope. But then there's another kind of church. And that church has been touched by God. That church knows that Jesus is alive and well. That church has had a visitation, and with the visitation came a revelation. God did send his only son, and with the revelation comes proclamation. I can't keep it to myself. I've got to go tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody. Is anybody here today? Come on now. I pray that you forget about your disappointments and your disillusionments and all the things that have let you down and the way you feel this season. And I want you to catch what these shepherds caught. The Bible says, now when they had seen him, they made widely known Can I read that again? They made widely known. That means they didn't just go tell two or three people they knew who were in their inner orbit. No, no. They went and told anybody and everybody. They spoke to everything that moved. They spoke to everything that had life. They told about the baby Jesus to everybody. And they were so powerful with it and so convincing. The Bible says all those who heard it marveled. That means their enthusiasm was so infectious that the listeners were marveling at what was told them by the shepherds. So they had a visitation that became a revelation that produced proclamation. And I want to close with this because it didn't end there. Not only did all those things happen to them, but they also experienced a transformation. Look how their lives were changed. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They went to work that day as ordinary shepherds. They went to Bethlehem as earnest seekers, and they returned as transformed worshipers. Their lives were changed.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for Pastor Jeff's new message entitled, Jesus, the Light of the World, in this special Christmas series called Light of the World. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.